You know, I'd like to suggest that Paul was a man who was on a mission. If you read of his background in the Philippians, Paul can take us back to his origins, his pedigree. Paul thought that he was doing Jehovah's bidding. Paul was very much like a man who was mad, not a man disoriented, but a man who thought that he was completely on the right track for Jehovah. And all of his, with every energy, with every fiber of his own body and soul, Paul thought he was doing God's bidding. But Paul was sincerely wrong. Hmm. Paul was in darkness. Paul was on his way to hell. And it took this light that would shine from heaven to illuminate his state before God. They say that a religious man is the most difficult person to convert because they are so steeped in what they believe as being what God wants. And Paul was in his own energy. Paul was breathing out threatenings. Paul was saying, listen, on my way down the road, if I see any of these people, I'm going to bring them all with me in bonds. And when Paul was converted, the reason why Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners is because he recognized, after this light shone upon the darkness that was in his heart, he recognized that he was fighting against the Lord himself, Jesus, the one who came into this scene to save precious souls. So why Jesus?
Jesus was that despicable name to this man. He was everything that Paul could speak against was personified in that name. Everything that Paul hated was personified in that one and those who named his name. And he went on that mission. And it's amazing, as David is pointing out to us, that the Lord Jesus comes back to this man that was full of hatred and venom and fury, and he identifies himself. I am Jesus. I am the one that you've been persecuting. You thought perhaps you were against others. You thought maybe you were against a cause. But all along, you have been personally persecuting me when you have persecuted my people.
Yes, I am that despicable name.
Remember, to every Jew, the name Jesus is a horrible name. No Jew embraces the name Jesus unless he's really been converted.
Amen.
But for every Jew, you call the name Jesus, and it's an insult. And Paul, the Lord Jesus is saying to Paul, I am that horrible, despicable name, that person that bears that name, that's who you're up against, Paul, Saul. And immediately there is the response. He doesn't actually say it in Mr. Darby's translation, what wilt thou have me to do? But when Paul recounts this incident in chapters 22 and 26, 22 particularly is when he comes out with the statement, I ask, what will you have me to do? Now here's a man who's been ill-treating that name and just tossing the Christians into prison and just pulling down that name. Here's a man now who's gotten to the point who hears that that name, that humble name, the character of that humble man means that he is the one who is Lord. Now Saul is ready to bow. And it brings the principle of Romans 10 and 9. If thou wilt confess Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I think it brings to us here how the gospel has to be presented in the reality of the Lordship of Christ, first and foremost. Because if you're not prepared to switch masters, then you're not prepared to go with Christ. And Paul was prepared at this moment to switch masters. And that's why we get in chapter 26, he asks the question, what wilt thou have me to do?
But not only that, David.
I was thinking of a verse in the Psalms that, speaking prophetically of the crucifixion of the Lord, men thought that by crucifying him, they would extinguish his name. Right? When men die, as great as they might be in this world, after a while, you forget their names, unless there's a holiday or what have you. When you read through the book of Acts, many of the apostles were beaten and were forbidden to teach in that person's name, the name of the Lord Jesus. So here's Paul, and the Lord says, this is the name, and not only this is the name of the person that's speaking to you, but he's speaking to Paul from the excellent glory. To say to Paul that the person who bears his name has not been extinguished, is not in the grave, is not in the tomb, but he is alive forevermore. And it is that connection, I believe, for us, that gives us as Paul, because it's interesting that Paul says, you know, there's got to be something now that you want me to do, because I've been doing and doing under, should I say, the name of Jehovah against this name. So now, Lord, who is in the excellent glory at the right hand of the majesty on high, what do you want this vessel to do? Sorry, Brother Emil. You never get a signal up here, but you get two signals now.
No, I did that to make him quiet. I just wanted to say, it's not only that he said, I, Jesus. When you look at chapter 22, he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth.
Mm. Yes.
The Nazarene.
Yes.
So, the Lord is honest. When he declare himself, if he said, I am Christ, I think it would have been easier on Paul. Mm. Oh, okay, he's the Messiah, everything is okay. But he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Now, you hate Jesus, but out of Nazareth cometh any good thing? And what he is saying, the world will despise that name. The world will have nothing to do with that name. And this is the name that you're going to be associated with. That is the Lord. He is the one that the world have nothing to do with. So, off the bat, he's telling you, you're going to be associated with me, and the world hated me and crucified me. Mm. In my life, I was from Nazareth. And toward the end of my life, said, crucified that man. So, you are associating yourself. Just count the cost. I am Jesus. I am not going to give you anything else. I am despised. The world have no room for me and have nothing to do with me. And you're going to be associated with me. And then the Lord starts giving order now. So, Paul was the one who went to the chief priest and said, well, give me this and I will do this and I will do that. Now, the Lord tell him, you go on, go to the city. Now, who is giving orders? The Lord. He is in charge. You go to the city. So the Lord will tell you what to do, where to go. If you said, Lord, okay, you are Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord will tell you what to do. Young people, how many times you have that question? How many times you heard that question? How do I know the will of God for me? How do I know what the Lord wants me to do? How do I know any of these things? Do you really think the Lord would withhold from you? Would you think that the Lord withhold from you or will hide from you his will? Do you think that the Lord would not tell you what to do? You go to him. You go to him. You read his word. He will make it clear. He told Paul, you go to the city. He gave Paul an instruction. Paul didn't say, now, okay, he's Lord now. What am I have to do? Should I go this way? Should I go back to Jerusalem? Because if I'm Paul, I will do that. Well, let me go back. Well, I'm going to Damascus to kill people. He said, you persecuted me. Well, I'm going back. I would do that if I'm Paul. But now he's in complete subjection to the Lord. And the Lord said, no, you go to Jerusalem. And there, I will tell you what to do. As a matter of fact, in verse 16, he told Ananias, I will show him. So the Lord, every step of the way, he will tell you what to do. He will show you what will do, what you have to do every step of the way. He will take care of every question that you have. You have to go to him. This is very, very practical.